cliffcentral.com.
Let us chat to Sean Sanders now. Sean is on the line. We're talking about cryptocurrencies, as we do every week with Sean. Jesus, Sean, what the hell happened yesterday, man? I saw Bitcoin drop to like $29,000 at some point, and Ethereum is floundering too. It's now at 2016. What happened yesterday to get everybody in a flat panic?
Morning, Gareth.
Morning.
It seems to be the Chinese crackdown that happened earlier this week. It seems to have just stemmed over, and you've had a lot of retail investors, that's everyday people like you and I, getting a bit scared and selling off. But I think there's maybe another story actually playing out in the background here, which you're not seeing yet play out in the mainstream media, or it's certainly not being reported.
Right.
And that's, you've got this crackdown happening in China, right? Which means that you've got most of the mining, about 60% of all Bitcoin's mining that happens in China, is now having to relocate to other regions around the world. Now, how do you relocate these massive mining farms? And when you think about a mining farm, you really do have to think about a building. Like, you're talking like a 20-story building having to be relocated of mining rigs and all the rest. You need to get quite a lot of capital in order to do that. So how do you get this capital? You're probably selling the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency reserves that you have. So I think you're seeing a lot of supply come into the market at once, and that's just been compounded with fear, essentially, at the end of it, and people selling off their cryptocurrency.
I mean, China is already not my favorite country because of, the small matter of a virus that's killed some 3 million people that they managed as badly as you manage a spaza shop if you're a drunk. But let's just look at China, for example, and just take very seriously for a second the fact that the Chinese government are very, very unhappy about Bitcoin because it's something they can't control. This is something that perhaps you could use as a template for other governments too. But China is really showing their hand here. They're showing what kind of people the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party government, really are. They don't like the fact that there's some decentralized currency that people can trade in that isn't controlled directly by them. Is this just the tip of the iceberg, or can China do a whole lot more to damage Bitcoin? And how do we recover from this?
This isn't really new news. That's the funny thing. China's done this loads of times before.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the same sort of scare in 2017. You had the same sort of scare in 2019. And now you've got it again in 2021. You're going to see it again. China's going to clamp down. I mean, you can't have an idea of a decentralized peer-to-peer digital currency that is literally opposing the idea of this digital yuan. So I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but China's probably leading the pack when it comes to launching their own digital currency. And a lot of people ask us sort of, what's a digital currency? Like, isn't the currency that we use today mostly digital? But no, what this actually means is that the government will have a digital one with sort of like software built into it, really, which means that you could essentially track exactly where this currency sits, who the money's been paid to. And at the end of the day, we haven't really been able to see too much about how exactly the digital one will work. But it probably makes sense that if you're launching the digital one, you don't particularly want Bitcoin operating in society. And I mean, if you think back just to last week, you had one of the biggest developments ever in Bitcoin's history announced, with El Salvador essentially accepting Bitcoin as legal tender.
Right.
Now, imagine that you start seeing some other countries essentially take the same approach. I mean, that could be a big risk to China. But I think also, if we take a step back, I mean, just looking beyond the noise that you're seeing now, Bitcoin's still 180% up over the last year. It's about flat since the start of the year.
Okay.
Ethereum is still up to about 560% over the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom out a little bit further than that, 2 years back, and you're looking at 840% return for Bitcoin and 1,100% for Ethereum. So this is still a growing market. It's almost inevitable that you will see a pullback. I mean, this has been a sharp pullback, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think still, you need to think about the bigger picture here.
You're telling us that we have to have perspective about this, which I think is a very good way of looking at things. Okay, but why did Ethereum come under such pressure then?
The cryptocurrency market is still quite highly correlated.
Okay.
I mean, this is an immature market. We actually are putting a piece together on this now. So Elon Musk tweets, the market moves. Why? Yeah. Because you've got a sentiment-driven market.
Mm-hmm.
People think that's very unique to crypto. That's not really that unique to crypto. Think about it. The Federal Reserve comes out, they change interest rates, the entire bond market sells off. You have Trump tweets, and all of a sudden the stock market moves.
Let's not forget in this country, when Jacob Zuma appointed Des van Rooyen as finance minister, you saw what it did to the rand, and people are used to that kind of up and down based on political vagaries.
Yeah, I think just the difference in crypto, it happens to be slightly more exacerbated, right? The moves up and down aren't 2, 3, 4, 5%. They can be 10, 15, 20%. Right. But that's why you have to look at the opportunity here. I mean, we've said this before. I've said this on your show, you know, over the last 2 years, loads of times. Mm-hmm. These really big pullbacks, I mean, it's what, Bitcoin's at $34,000 now, Ethereum at $2,000. This can be the biggest opportunity to get in. Now, I'm not saying run into this market. I think that would actually be really silly advice. But I think this is a good point to, you know, if you haven't invested yet, to actually say, listen, let me allocate a little bit of money to this area. And I would definitely not really allocate a big portion of funds to this area right now. Why? Because the market can still pull back a further 10%. It can pull back a further 15, 20%. So if you allocate some money now, you allocate some money again in the future and again in the future, and you keep kind of periodically doing this over time, you're going to be able to get the average price. And this is called dollar cost averaging. So this is the way we recommend 99% of people go and invest in this market. And that way you can sleep well at night. It's not emotional investing, and you're sort of getting the average price over a long period of time. And hopefully, you know, you, as we expect, the crypto market will continue to grow, and this will end up being a $100,000 Bitcoin market in the next 5 to 10 years, which is still our thesis.
Well, Terence Cameron says, Sean, you look stressed. Are you stressed about this, or do you see it all in proportion that you're telling us to?
No, I'm not stressed about this. We've seen this before. We've seen much bigger pullbacks before. I mean, this is like the sixth or seventh pullback, over 50% in crypto. Right. I think what you're seeing is just a Cape Town winter that is keeping me very pale. I'll be working on the mascara and all the jazz for the next, chat.
And Scott Campbell says, the I'll see you at 100K Bitcoin crowd seem to have gone very quiet.
They'll be back. They'll definitely be back. All the right. Laser Eye guys and girls, I'm sure you've seen them on Twitter and all the rest.
Yeah.
They'll be back. I think ultimately this is how it works every single time, right? I mean, you get this big explosion in price. Everyone kind of all of a sudden becomes, it's the same as footballers, right? Like you get a football team that's doing really well. All of a sudden, everyone starts supporting them. Then when, you know, they're not doing so well, everyone goes elsewhere.
What was the agreement we made? What price did it have to drop to in order for you to do the show without any clothes on? What was the amount that we said that was?
I believe you said $20,000.
Okay, well, hopefully it doesn't get there for you, Sean, because it's also very cold, so that's not going
to
go well.
I want you to know that this was the first time I started listening in the last 5 minutes.
See, not everyone, not everyone's as excited as Sean and I are about cryptocurrencies, but there we go.
So cryptocurrency,
you got the perfect shot for crypto, right? I mean, you've practically got like half of cryptocurrencies sort of like spirit animals on your top.
That's correct. You've got the foxes.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Owls, yeah.
I told you, I understand everything about crypto, everything.
Well, Sean, you'll keep us updated. I mean, this is obviously, you know, we're in a boat here that is sailing through some pretty rough seas. But, you know, these are the same people who were thrilled when just a couple of weeks ago they were cashing out at like $60,000 a Bitcoin and saying, yeah, I'm going to buy that house that I've always wanted, because there were people doing that. And good for them. I see Vinny Lingham, who we both know, is on a trip to Iceland. And obviously he's had a good couple of weeks, because Vinny knows this crypto market too. And I think he must have sold at the top, and he's probably buying some more right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's some interesting stuff going on there. So watch that space.
I don't think a trip to Iceland is a good indicator of anything, really.
You don't think so? It's beautiful.
A trip to Iceland.
It's the most...
I don't know.
Apparently, everybody who's anybody wants to get to Iceland at the moment. You know who's a huge fan is Rich Mulholland, who we've had on the show before. He said it's the most magnificent place he's ever been. You have the northern lights at night. You have these waterfalls, this blue, blue water. You have these magnificent...
And listen, it is beautiful. And I would like to go live somewhere like that forever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly where you go, I think, to like pop bottles and, you know.
maybe that's where the...
Guys, but I think one thing that's interesting to note, and I don't think anyone that's listening will actually go do this, but we've been on the show for a while, right? Go back in time and look at all the different, just like, suppose the headlines or the headings of the different podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've been through this on the podcast before, right? It was like, oh, this is doing so well. And then, oh, it's not doing so well. I mean, and it's doing well. That's like just how this market works, right?
Well, we need to know exactly what's happening, and you're the guy to tell us. Thank you very much, Sean Saunders. Good to talk to you, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Cool, man. You can go along to
Red. Bye.
You see, she's doing the five byes that Sia hates. Sia hates when people say bye 100 times.
Bye-bye now. Take care.
You can find out more if you'd like to go to revix.com, where Sean will, with his team, give you all the updates. And you can also go on there and start to diversify your portfolio. You can buy a whole bunch of different cryptocurrencies in an index, which they rebalance every single month. And you might want to just check out all the information they've got on there too. It's very, very good. And you will find all the relevant updates to keep you on top of things. CliffCentral.com.